reminded and refocused on what really matters. And this is this eternal pursuit we're on, this life eternal that we're looking for. And so it's just wonderful that the Lord has designed in His providence moments like this where we can come together and see each other and be encouraged by that, but then to just harmonize and to join hearts and voices and worship in our God. And I appreciate all the good efforts put forth so far, but I do appreciate your desire to draw closer to God and your willingness to be here this morning. You all have been so good to us, a very special giving group of people. I appreciate all that you've done recently in helping us out, and then even the other night of acknowledging the young people who will be leaving and having something for them. It was just, it's just tremendous. And I appreciate you so much, friends. And Stephanie really hated the fact that she could not be here today, because she and Micah have already started down south, and McCord and I, he comes in Monday night. I pick him up in Indianapolis, and then we go down Thursday. But it's already a situation that we hate to be away from, and I just hope you know that. We appreciate being here so much, and you all have been so good to us, and I hope it's for a long time, but we'll let the Lord decide that one. In Acts chapter 18, we have the account of when you had somebody who was a very powerful speaker, eloquent man, and who was doing a great job in conveying God's will. But it says in Acts chapter 18 that as Aquila and Priscilla, this Christian couple, was listening to him, they realized that this man, Apollos, was teaching everything right except for just one small detail. And it says that this certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And so we can see the setting. We can see what's happening here. Okay, a man who's very knowledgeable and very zealous in his desire to teach God's will. And yet the Christians who heard him realized that he had, but he didn't fit all of it together. He didn't realize that Jesus was the one. Jesus was a way of preparing people for the Messiah. And so when these Christians who were present heard him teach this, they didn't sit back and say, well, you know what? Everybody's entitled to their own belief. We're all serving God in different ways. Let's just... the truth. And the truth is, Jesus is the Christ. And they showed him that. And it obviously, when he heard that truth, he accepted that truth, because he then followed them to Corinth and he was telling other people that truth, that Jesus is the Christ. So here's a man who had most of it right, but was off just enough to be wrong in the sight of God. And so these Christians showed him the way of God more accurately. I think if there's any lesson we need today as people who were born into our society, a society that teaches us not to judge, a society that teaches us that every religion is okay, a person is entitled to his own beliefs, and that we should not try and say anything to people about serving God, is a lesson like this. Because you have this couple that showed it does matter. It does matter how we serve God, and it does matter if we are doing His will. And when this couple corrected this person, and I like the way they did it, I mean, they took him aside, right? They took him aside to give him a chance to humbly receive the truth. They took him aside. He accepted that truth. And it showed that when they did this, that several things were true. For one, I believe it's important to note, they were helping a servant of God. Now, Apollos did not start serving God the day that Aquila and Priscilla got hold of him. He was already serving God. And he was serving God from the heart, loving God from the heart, dedicating his life to God, but he did not know the truth. He did not know the entire truth of God's will. And it's important for us to understand that here is a man who was zealous. He was already given himself to God. It didn't start that day. But he wasn't doing God's will. I mean, today, if a person is zealous in serving God and they still want to say that the Messiah is still coming, he's not here yet, or he has not come yet, I mean, could that person be doing God's will and saying that 2,000 years later after Jesus came? Of course not. We're going to serve God, right? We've got to acknowledge his will. And here, this man was serving God, but he did not acknowledge, he did not have the truth of God's will about Jesus being the Messiah. Sometimes people will say, when they are presented the truth, especially that of being baptized for the remission of sins, there's going to be some reluctance sometimes from people. And sometimes people will say, well, if I change, I'm saying I never loved God. It's saying that all these years of my service and devotion to God did not count for anything. And so if I acknowledge that now I must be baptized for the remission of sins, then it's going to say as if I didn't serve God before. And that's not the case at all. And I think an example like this shows that is just not the case at all. That it is possible for good people not to know the truth. And then when they're given that truth, to obey that truth, and it does not discredit their devotion to God before. It validates it. It confirms that they were serving God from the heart. And that they were people who were in love with Him and trying to do His will. And the more truth they're given, the more truth they're going to obey. Because they are a wise person who is seeking to do God's will. And you can see even in Acts chapter 17, looking at how people responded to the truth. There were those who resisted it, but then there were those who received it. It says in verse 1, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. So here are people serving God, Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, verse 5, became envious and so on and so forth. So you had the truth presented to these people who were servants of God. Some were persuaded, some were not. And those who were persuaded obviously were people who had already been devoted and committed to God, and they wanted to remain in that path. And so they didn't respond by saying, "Well, you know what, Paul? This is not the way I was taught. This is not the way we've practiced it all my life. This is not what my parents believe. And so if I receive that message, you're going to say that, you know, we weren't serving God and that they didn't love God and we don't love God. And I just can't do that." And friends, that is a total distortion of what the truth is all about. It's important that we get this right to help other people, because that's what they were doing. They were helping a servant of God. The Lord's been good to us in allowing me to go to Samoa. It's been 4 years in a row now, and I hope to make it a continued part of my life. But one of the trips we made came across a man. And so many fascinating stories I hope to share with you sometime about the work in Samoa. But one of the trips I was on, there was a man who was a pastor or a preacher for this Assembly of God faith. And he had been a preacher in that faith for 20 years. And his father is established in that religion. And so this was their family's religion. And he had been coming to the services every night. And he and I became good friends. Really nice guy. And I had asked him, I said, "You know, Mac," because he was saying that he was a Christian. I asked him, I said, how are you converted? And he said, "Well, you know, back in the day when I was not living right, I was literally the prodigal son, that I had lost everything because of drugs, and so I was having to feed swine. I was having to work on a pig farm. And he was talking about being in a pig pen one day and how he had acknowledged the Lord and asked him into his heart, and then a couple of weeks later, he was baptized. And when he told me that, I said, now, Mac, what does Jesus say about this? You know, we went through this, and we eventually got to the point of Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He says, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I said, now what? Now, you said you were saved in the pig pen, right? He goes, yeah. And then I was baptized. But I said, well, look what Jesus said. He didn't say he who believes is saved and then should be baptized. He said he who believes and is baptized is saved. And he just froze for a second. He goes, yeah, I can see that. I said, now, is that what you did? He goes, no. No, I guess I didn't do that. I said, so what do you think you need to do about that? And he said, well, I need to obey Jesus. And so, not long after that, we went to the ocean. And we're standing in the water, and there's a group of people there on the shore supporting this, who had come with us. And we're in the water. And, you know, we're in this body of water. And we're talking, Mac and I are talking. And I said, Mac, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand why you're doing this? Yes. Do you understand you weren't saved in the pig pen? Yes. Do you understand that this is how you are saved according to Jesus? Yes. I said, Mac, now listen, this does not mean that you started loving God today. You've been serving God for over 20 years. It just means that now you are being saved according to His will. Now you are acknowledging His will and doing it. And he says, "You." He said, I really appreciate that. And with that, he was able to dismiss, you know, any concern, and he was baptized into Christ. He obeyed the gospel. And he's still faithful to this day. That's what's so fascinating about this, is he's still faithful to this day. But friends, that's Apollos, okay? Listen, you're going to come across people who are going to hear the truth for the first time saying, well, wait, I didn't obey that baptism. I was baptized, but I wasn't baptized like that or for those reasons. And we must prepare them to understand, look, it doesn't mean you're just now loving God or just now serving God. You just got to serve Him more accurately. And we cannot adopt the mentality, well, it doesn't matter to God. Well, if it doesn't matter to God, why correct this man? Why tell this man? Because he was off just on one thing, right? What was he off on? He was off on baptism. He was still teaching and practicing the baptism of John. So, in helping somebody understand the truth, serving God more accurately, they helped a servant of God. And number two, Aquila and Priscilla taught the truth. Because when they took this man aside, they were taking aside a person who did not know the truth. Now, he had practiced the truth of God's will from times past. Okay, and the baptism of John was valid at one time because it came from heaven and not from men. And God told John to go and baptize people for the remission of sins, preparing them for the Messiah. That's what Luke chapter 3 talks about, verses 3 through 6, that he was making a way for the Messiah. And all the Jews, because that's the only people who received this, all the Jews who acknowledged that yes, the Messiah is coming, those who believed that message were baptized by John. And so they were preparing for the Messiah. He is on His way. He is coming. And so if you believe that, then you were baptized. That's the baptism that John was telling people about, and people were practicing. Well, by the time you come to Acts 18, Christianity has already been established for a couple of decades, and the baptism of John was no longer God's will. It wasn't God's will to go and prepare people for the Messiah. The Messiah already came. God's will since then was for people to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. That's the will of Christ. That's the will of God, of heaven. And so for Apollos to still be preaching and practicing a baptism that was no longer valid was to be going contrary to God's will. And so they taught the truth in telling this man about the baptism of Christ. But once again, people will be reluctant to obey that. People will say, well, you know, if we do this, if I do this, then you're going to say that I'm wrong or my family's wrong because we haven't practiced this. And the reality is, friends, that as long as we refuse to practice the truth, we're either right or wrong. And according to God's will, we're still wrong. And so will we decide to remain wrong or will we decide to become right? Because if we want to practice the truth, then we have to be people who obey that truth. And so when the truth is presented to us, we can either respond by saying, well, if I acknowledge that and obey that, then I'm acknowledging I'm wrong. Okay, well, don't do it. What does that do to you? It still leaves you in a condition of error. But if you want to serve God, then you must be willing to submit to the truth. I recall, and it's a good story, and I'm sure you may have heard it yourself, about this man who inherited a grocery store from his father. And the state inspector came in and was testing the scales, and it was determined that the scales in the store were off and that they were not accurate for years. And so when the inspector told the new owner that son was saying, well, are you saying that my father was dishonest all these years? And the inspector said, no, I'm not saying that, but if you continue to use these scales, you will be dishonest. When somebody says, well, my family wasn't baptized, and you're saying we need to be baptized, are you saying that they didn't love God all those years? That they were not servants of God all those years? I said, well, no, but if you continue to reject this, you won't be a servant of God. You won't be somebody who believes and obeys the Lord. Because the truth is, baptism places us in Christ. That's according to God's will. Galatians 3:27 talks about that. Romans 6 and verse 3 says we're baptized into His death. So you cannot get into Christ. You cannot access the benefits of His death. You cannot be in His body apart from baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So this is the way in which you get into Christ. And we can balk at that. We can, you know, kick up our feet and say, well, you know, I just can't believe and practice that because we've never done that before. And that may be our conclusion, but our conclusion is wrong. And we are clinging to something that is inaccurate, and we're clinging to something that is not consistent with God's will. And like I said, Acts chapter 17 and verse 5, there are people, and this is nothing new. Okay, people have done this for years. When they hear the truth, they're going to get mad and still hold to error. Acts 17 and verse 5, that's what some Jews did. But I don't want to be in that group. I want to be in the group of people up to verse 4 who, when they heard it, they received it, and they humbly obeyed that. And that's where we need to be, good friends. We need to be about the business of serving God and putting our faith not in our parents, not in our family, not in our co-workers, not in ourselves, but our faith is in God. And the Bible says the truth, not your opinion or your family's approval, but the truth will set you free. And that's where our faith needs to be. And so when this couple took this man aside and told him the way of Christ, they were teaching the truth. They weren't teaching things contrary to God's will. I think it's important to understand that when they took him aside, they corrected a man's only error. Now, that's what the scriptures are saying here, that here is a man who was teaching God's will, but he was off on one thing, and it was a major thing, because he was not teaching the thing that will put you in Christ. We read a while ago, Brother Clark did for us, from Romans chapter 10, and it's right that even Paul was acknowledging there in Romans chapter 10 that it's possible for people to have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In Romans chapter 10 it says in verse 1, my heart's desire, brethren, and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You have to understand that he was up against a mentality that said, look, we've always served God through the law of Moses. I cannot leave this. We're not going to depart from this. And I choose to serve God through this. And Paul is saying, look, they may mean well, and they may have a zeal in that pursuit, but it's not a zeal according to knowledge. It's not a zeal according to truth. That they were zealous in the wrong thing. And what this shows is that when the truth is presented and we are sincerely wrong, one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to cease to be sincere or we're going to cease to be wrong. If we have been practicing things contrary to God's will and we have been sincerely wrong, when the truth is presented, we will either cease to be sincere or we will cease to be wrong. Because you cannot be the same once the truth is given. And so in teaching this man, what it revealed is this man ceased to be wrong. He wanted to continue to be sincere because he repented of that which was wrong. He served God more accurately. He served God according to his will. And we have to understand that truth is not based on what we think about it. 2 + 2 = what? Well, we can go around the room and what if somebody says, yeah, you know, you say it's 4, but we've always been taught it's 6. Or I feel like it's 5. Well, does that vary? Does that change the truth just because a person decides to give a different answer? Of course not. It doesn't change the truth. It doesn't alter the truth in any way, but it does define our condition. That I can't, on my test, answer, well, 2 + 2 is whatever you want it to be. You know, you can't say it's right or wrong. We can't judge people on right or wrong. That may be my answer, but in concluding that, what am I? I am wrong. And so we have to understand the same thing is true with God's will. That when he tells us that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and we say, no, he is not, then both of us cannot be right. Either God is right or we are right. And we have to understand that the author teaches us that truth is not based on how we respond to it. It's still true whether we accept it or not. And we see in Acts chapter 19, the very same thing was happening when Paul came to Ephesus. Now, when Apollos was converted, he went to Corinth. Well, Paul comes in right behind him at Ephesus, because that's where Apollos was at Ephesus. So Paul comes in right behind him. And it says in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, that Apollos wasn't the only person who was off on John's baptism. There are a whole host of people there, because that's what this man was teaching them. And so he goes to Ephesus, Paul does, in Acts chapter 19. It says in verse 1, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. Okay, that is, people that he assumed to be disciples. These are people serving God. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we have not as so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we understand in this context that these people were doing the same thing Apollos did. They were obeying God to the best of their ability, but they were wrong. They were ignorant by holding to this baptism, which is at least 20 years old at this point, the baptism of John. And so they receive the truth, and in response to that, they obey the truth. And friends, these are the people at Ephesus, as Paul would write later, in Ephesians chapter 2, who were saved by grace through faith. That here are people who were saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? And yet we see the foundation of their beginning, their origin, is that when they were presented with the truth, they obeyed that truth. And that truth was that baptism of Christ. And so by putting their faith in that, by obeying the truth, they were being saved by faith
and not of works. Romans chapter 10, it says that there are people trying to be saved by works, their own works of righteousness. And yet we see in Acts 19, there were people who were saved by faith, by putting their trust in God. These were people who were serving God, but they were off just on one thing, at least. And when the truth was presented, they obeyed that truth. Many times there are people in this world who are good moral people, wonderful people who love God, who pray to God, who are zealous for God. And yet they don't know about this truth about being baptized into Christ. They may have practiced some other baptism, to join a church, or something that they did as a child when they were sprinkled, as we talked about in class today. When the truth is presented, will we be people who receive that? And more importantly, will we as God's people tell people that? Well, we have the courage and conviction that Aquila and Priscilla had to say something to people who are ignorant of this and who love God and who are serving Him. Well, when they did this, friends, they were correcting just one thing, and it was enough to determine if a person was right or wrong with God. Let me move on to the last point, that when they took this man and corrected him and helped him serve God more accurately, in doing so, they were promoting the Lord's work. Because now, Aquila and Priscilla, and I know that they didn't do this for that reason, but one of the fringe benefits of telling people the truth is you have other people alongside you now to help spread that truth. And in Acts chapter 18, that's exactly what happened. When they shared the truth with this man, they could have been silent, right? They could have held their peace and not done anything. But because they had that courage and the conviction in God's will, they did say something. They did it accurate. They did a good job of bringing him to the side and talking to him. But they showed him the truth. He received that truth. And as a result of receiving that truth, they had one more voice to join them in promoting that truth. Now, I know they could not have anticipated that. But they had their faith in God, courage in God, and as a result, the Lord blessed them with a person to work alongside them. The worst thing we can do is keep the truth to ourselves. Why? Because people need salvation. They need to hear the truth that will set them free. We need to love them enough to deliver them from sin. There's a great day coming. The judgment is coming. And the worst thing we can do is keep that knowledge to ourselves. The worst thing we can do is to keep that announcement to ourselves, that we as sinners can be saved. And the blood of Christ has been spilt and given to us so that we can be set free from sin. That's great news. We don't need to keep that to ourselves. There is hope past your sin. People need to hear this. But we have to understand that when we have the courage to tell people that, we are inadvertently creating more workers for the Lord in this world. The Scriptures have the power to convert people to the Lord. That's how the Lord teaches people and leads them. Jesus went to the Scriptures and was able to show that He is the Messiah, the one who would come and die for sin, Luke 24 and verse 27. And we can do the same thing with God's Word, because everything man needs to know is right there that we might serve God more accurately. But keep in mind that when we convert people to the Lord, it creates more workers. And we have to remember that, because what you and I are going to be inclined to do, we're going to be inclined to be silent. We're inclined to not say anything because we don't want to lose somebody's approval. We don't want to lose friendships or relationships in life. But we have to put our faith in God. We have to have that love for the truth. We have to understand if people could come back from the dead, they would be shouting this all day long. If people could come back from the dead, they would be telling people, look, sin is real. Sin has a real consequence to it. And if you want the hope of eternal life, it is not in yourself, it's not in your family, it's in Jesus Christ. They would be shouting that to people. They would not lose heart in telling people that. Well, it's not going to happen, okay? Jesus came back from the dead to give us that hope and that message, and it's up to us to have faith in that and to have enough courage to speak that and enough wisdom to see that now, before we leave or before the day of judgment comes upon us. When Paul wrote the Corinthians, notice what he said
in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says, one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And so Paul is acknowledging the fact that we're all co-workers of God.
But notice who he used. He used Apollos. Apollos went to Corinth when? Right after he was shown the truth by whom? Aquila and Priscilla. And so here was a man who had an impact there. But he would never have that impact at Corinth had two Christian people not had enough courage and conviction at Ephesus to take him aside and show him the truth. We're co-workers of God. And what God will do is he will present us with opportunity. And we will either have the guts or we won't to take advantage of that. And what I would encourage us to realize is it begins when we have the conviction to realize a person may be off just on one thing, but that's enough. That's enough for them to be wrong, and we should love them enough to show them the truth so that they might serve God more accurately. It's God's will that people hear this. And so I ask you, are you serving God more accurately? I mean, it could be you've heard this lesson and you realize, look, baptism, I've never done that. I love God. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I'm willing to confess that. I'm willing to turn away from my sins, but I've never been baptized. Well, friends, do you love God? Well, I'm sure you do. You're here to worship Him. I have no doubt that you love Him, okay? Will you join the group of people like Apollos, who, when they heard the truth, they obeyed that truth because they wanted to serve God correctly? And Jesus, of course, teaches people to become a disciple of His through baptism. The apostles taught that. They obeyed that. They practiced that. And now that truth has been trickled down to you. It could be that maybe you have been baptized in times past, but it was never for these reasons. Listen, just being baptized won't do it. Apollos was baptized. He was teaching people to be baptized in the baptism of John, but that did not help anybody. We have to be baptized for the right reason. I was baptized when I was 12, and looking back, I did it because my friend did it. But when I was 19, I heard the truth. I heard things like this and realized, look, I never obeyed that. I never did this to be saved. I never did this to become a Christian. And when I heard that truth, then I obeyed it. And I remember the fear and the guilt of and the dread, knowing I had not obeyed this. And when I obeyed it, I had peace, not because of me, but because I've walked by faith in the will of God. And we hope that if you are here and you haven't done that, put your faith in God. Let Him save you on His terms by coming to Jesus. Or if you have done that but need to make things right with Him in a public way, please respond to our God, who is so rich in mercy, as we stand and sing.